Come Rain or Shine, written by Pam Weaver, read by Julie Maisie. Chapter 1. Findon, near Worthing, 1915. The light level was changing over Cissbury Ring. In another half hour, the first rays of April sunshine would bathe the prehistoric hilltop fort, highlighting the ring of trees planted in a previous century. In the dull silence of early morning, Amos McCabe was sitting on the steps of his shepherd's hut, enjoying his first pipe of the day. Before long, his flock would stir from their sleep to feed on the chalky downland pastures. They had grazed in the same area on the South Downs, close to the villages of Whiston, Washington and Findon, for years. And because the land was not naturally fertile, they had played their part in keeping it well manured. If the soil was well prepared by his flock, the following year the land could be turned over to wheat. Bess, his sheepdog, came out from under the hut and shook herself. Amos lowered his arm and she came to his side. He didn't speak. He didn't need to. The bond between them was strong. She sat under his right hand and he fondled one of her ears. As soon as the first rays of sunlight streamed across the trees on the hill, Amos rose to his feet. He'd count his sheep to make sure they were all there, and then he'd return home. Lambing was over, and he'd stayed long enough to make sure every animal was sturdy. After 6 weeks out on the hills and living in his shepherd's hut, he was looking forward to sitting by his own fireplace and listening to Molly singing as she prepared their meal in the kitchen. Of course, he'd still have to come out twice a day to check on the flock, but he could enjoy a little free time at last. In years gone by, his father and grandfather before him would have had the occasional company of other shepherds. But that was in the days when the Sussex Downs were home to more than 300 flocks. The Great War was changing everything. Once farm workers and shepherds had been sent to the front, the countryside was denuded of labourers and the huge flocks disappeared. These days, Amos would be lucky to find 200 flocks on the whole of the Sussex Downs, which stretched from the Itchen Valley in Hampshire to Beachy Head near Eastbourne. To the sound of the dawn chorus and the tuneless song of a distant cuckoo, Amos and Bess rounded up the sheep and pushed them through a small gate. This enabled him not only to count the sheep, but also to do a quick check for any signs of sickness or injury. Occasionally, he'd stop to smear a little tar on a scratch or a superficial cut to stop the flies attacking the animal and to give the wound a chance to heal. The whole exercise didn't take long, but by the end of it, he'd noticed one ewe was missing. He knew exactly which one it was. He'd nicknamed her Slippery Sybil, because whenever she found a gap in the hedge or a weakness in a fence, she'd push her way through to the other side. It didn't seem to matter to her that she'd left behind good pasture, and now she only had barren woodland or weed-covered soil. She made a habit of wandering away from the others all the time. Under normal circumstances, he would have got rid of her, but she was a delight to the eye, with her beautifully proportioned body and an exceptional coat of wool. Amos sighed. Now, instead of going home, he would have to scour the hillside for Slippery Sybil. He found her high up on a large patch of scrubland. She had walked across a platform of last year's brambles, which spanned a small ditch, become stuck and rolled to one side. She remained forlornly waiting to be rescued, two of her legs dangling between the branches, the others in the air. If he hadn't found her, she would have died. Once she had been cast, she couldn't have righted herself, and the gases building up in her rumen would have eventually cut off the blood supply, firstly to her legs, and then to other parts of her body. For all that, she wasn't completely stupid. Sybil trusted him absolutely and stayed perfectly still while he leaned over her to release her fleece and lift her out. Once she was freed, Amos stood astride the animal, talking softly to her as he rubbed her limbs to bring the sensation back. When he finally let her go, she walked unsteadily at first,